The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It's the Netball Show with the Flyhawk. We've been a long-term supporter of the Mintridge Foundation here on the podcast. And it was really good to see that Mintridge ambassador Danielle Brown has written a book. It's called Run Like a Girl, available on her website now, daniellebrown.co.uk. And she's been telling me more about it.
Hi,
Danielle, thanks for joining us.
Sorry, I jumped in there, didn't I? No, it's great to be here.
For those of us that maybe don't realise the sporting royalty I'm speaking to today, double Paralympic gold medalist in archery, five-time world champion, and you're number one throughout your entire career. And you also achieved something that very few disabled athletes manage, and that was transitioning onto the able-bodied team.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually. I mean, I had a really, I guess, enjoyable career. You know, obviously, you've outlined the successes and standing on the podium, what was incredible, don't get me wrong, you know, that's kind of at elite level what you do sport for. But for me, the journey, you know, being part of that GB team, getting to travel the world, getting all that international competition experience was just amazing.
Some of them pictures that are on your website as well, just when you see that, must evoke many special memories.
Yeah, I mean, the photos, you know, that they are lovely, lovely memories. And I've just got so many more, you know, just sort of spending time with teammates, actually getting to travel to these amazing places that I probably wouldn't have thought of as a holiday destination, but getting to understand different cultures, meeting new people, you know, it's just incredible. So yeah, I've got so many amazing, happy memories from my time in sport.
And it doesn't come much better, no matter what sport you're involved with, but representing your country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, getting to put on that GB shirt, getting to go out there. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of pressure, and particularly the more I achieved, the more pressure I felt under to win. And, you know, it got to the point where silver medal was failure. You know, I'd won so many titles on the para side. I was on the able-bodied side. So everybody, including myself, expected me to win. And that did make it very, very tough.
So what's the Run Like a Girl book about?
So Run Like a Girl features 50 female athletes from all over the world. And I wrote it for so many reasons. You know, firstly, when I was growing up, I didn't have any real female role models in sport, to the point that I didn't even know I could have a career in sport. I mean, partly I was rubbish at sport as I was growing up, so never really considered it as an option anyway. But, you know, it would have been nice to know it was available. I think I could have probably named a couple of tennis players and that was it. So really, I wanted to raise the profile of some of the amazing things that's going on in women's sport. Because, you know, whilst we do hear more about women's sport now, there is still a huge, huge gap. And so many of the women that I wrote about, I'd not come across before. And I think, you know, it's just so important to share those stories and really provide those strong role models for other girls and boys. And I also wanted to change the perception of women in sport as well. So it's providing those role models, but also changing that perception, and particularly that concept, like a girl. So, you know, I remember when I was training, and sometimes if the guys were having a bad day, they'd be like, oh, I'm shooting like a girl. And, you know, it was just like, at the time, I didn't realize how much of an impact those words have. But, you know, when you look back and reflect on it, words are so important. And we do hear those phrases, don't we? Run like a girl, throw like a girl, catch like a girl. It's often positioned as an insult. But actually, if we try and flip that around and get girls and women to see that actually you can perform, compete, enjoy sport as a girl, and you can do it really well.
Really about empowering women and girls in sport. A belief that Mintridge have as well, and definitely a value that I would suggest you hold as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been working as an ambassador with Mintridge Foundation for crikey, quite a few years now, 4 or 5 years, and they really are a wonderful, wonderful charity. They do such a lot of great work around empowering young people, so girls and boys, but you know, they are very, very keen on raising the profile of women's sport as well, which is reflected by, you know, they've got so many female ambassadors, which is really nice. So, you know, from an ambassador point of view, it's awesome to be able to stay in touch with these amazing role models and be part of that team. But the impact and work that it has on young people is just, it's really incredible. It's amazing to be part of it, and it's amazing to see those programs work.
Why now? I suppose, did the last 18 months of being behind closed doors just give you a bit of time to make a start on it?
Yeah, so I've always wanted to be a writer. You know, that has been my vision, my goal since I was about 4 years old. And it kind of really started in terms of children's book with my first one that I co-authored with a seven-year-old boy, Nathan Kai. I did that in 2019. And so that kind of started the foray into children's book writing. But this idea came to me actually before the pandemic. I'd written it by March. It just takes such a long time to get published. But I have to admit, all this time in lockdown has given me a lot more time to write.
Mm. And in it as well, there's plenty of inspiring women in there. People like Serena Williams, Simone Biles, Lizzie Arnold, to name a few.
Yeah, I mean, I did my research and I wrote the chapters, and then I sent it over to as many of the athletes I could track down as possible, because making sure that I got the facts right was very, very important. So I remember when I was in the Beijing Paralympics, I won the gold medal, and a local paper rang my mum up afterwards and said, can I interview you? So mum, not really knowing what to do, kind of agreed to it. And they said, why did Danielle start archery? And my mum's like, I don't know. I think she had an obsession with Lord of the Rings. And honestly, that followed me for about 4 years, and wasn't quite true. But yeah, everywhere I turned up, sort of in the intro, in the bio, Danielle started archery because of Lord of the Rings. So yeah, for me, it's really important to try and get those facts correct and make sure also that the athletes were happy with it, you know, sort of that the information out there isn't always the truth. So it was just really, really nice to be able to share it with athletes, to get their feedback, to see what they were happy with, what they weren't, what they wanted including. So yeah, it was a really nice part of that process.
I think when we spoke to Jeeva Mentor as well, she said that that was one of the key things why she started her website, just so that everybody had something with a bit of authority instead of going to a wiki.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously that, but also, you know, even I've had it where you've done an interview. I remember doing this interview with The Guardian, and it was like quite exciting at the time, first time I'd ever been interviewed by a national paper. And when I read the article afterwards, I was so disappointed because I'd said everything that was quoted, but it had been distorted so much and taken out of context that it made me sound quite bitter, and I really wasn't impressed. So yeah, making sure that I think that voice is so important, and getting athletes to actually have a voice. So yeah, it's great when athletes do set up their own sites and you've got that, you know, them sort of really being able to engage and tell their truths.
We'll plug it before the end of the interview. What's your website? Let's plug it now as well.
DanielleBrown.co.uk.
Very nice. Good to see as well that Tracy Neville's part of the book, ex-England netball head coach. What was it like getting somebody like her involved?
Yeah, so do you know what? First of all, it's really tough trying to narrow A down to 50 athletes for the book, but there were certain sports that I really wanted to cover. And yeah, when I was looking at all the different netball players, I mean, just so many inspiring players. I found it such a tough choice. But I think one of the reasons I wanted to focus the chapter on Tracy was that She, you know, she was obviously a coach as well. And I just loved that transition from player to coach. And part of the book, you know, it's about, as you said, empowering young people. And I wanted them to see that it wasn't just about being an athlete, that there were other ways you could engage in sport, whether that was coaching, volunteering, refereeing, setting up your own business, empowering or charity work. So, yeah, you know, she's got such an inspiring story. It was just so really, really inspiring for me to read, to research and to turn into a story.
You do motivational talks as well. What's the main message that you're keen to portray as part of these?
Oh, crikey, that's quite a tough one.
Oh, that's a good one. I've been kind to you up until now.
Have you? Yeah, that is a tough one. Because, I mean, I do obviously talk about my story. I always bring my story in because I think that inspiration bit is important. You know, I don't like just talking about myself or giving fluffy messages. You know, I like practical solutions and actual strategies and tools that you can take from it. So I suppose some of my key messages are all around confidence. You know, I growing up with a disability, for me, my disability started as a teenager. It wasn't something that happened that I've always had. And, you know, as a teenager, you're figuring out who you are, what you want to do with the rest of your life. And I had this additional problem thrown into the mix, and it completely shattered my self-esteem, my self-confidence. And through sport, I was able to build it back. So for me, a lot of the messages really is around focusing on what you can do rather than what you can't. It's actually giving techniques and tips and tricks and tools on how to actually build that confidence up and understand that it does fluctuate, that, you know, there are times where we have dips in that confidence. And also the importance of confidence in performance as well. You know, it's more important than competence in many, many respects.
How about training mind and challenging energy into a winning performance? I like that. Do you like that as well? You should. Absolutely. Do, because I lifted it from your website.
Yeah, I thought I recognized it. Yeah. Yeah, no, it is, because, you know, I think that winning, that performance, those wins, you know, whilst sport and anybody involved in sport knows that you've obviously got to practice, you've got to put in that time, that effort. But if the mindset isn't there, you know, if you've not worked on that as well, all that practice in many respects is going to waste, because you need to be able to perform under pressure. You need to be able to stay positive through all the challenging bits. You need to learn how to tap into that motivation. So yeah, it's huge, hugely important.
On your website as well, it's not just obviously focused at the athletes and the talk side, but there's also options to buy into control your exam nerves revision video. That's important.
Yeah, I know. The inspiration for this actually came through when I was at university. So I was studying law. And I think it was in my second year, I walked into the kitchen in my shared accommodation, and all my housemates were crying their eyes out. And I was just like, oh, what's happened? And they were there snuffling away going, we're going to fail. And I just thought to myself, I'm like, well, if you sat in the kitchen crying, not in your room studying, you probably are going to fail. Mm. And then I was like, where, you know, why am I so different? Why am I not in there, you know, sort of really struggling with that pressure? And I just realized actually the strategies that I'd learned through sport really helped me. You know, I didn't have the same sort of blips in confidence, the same issues with pressure that a lot of my peers did. And I was just like, hey, you know, can we use sports psychology techniques and tools to actually support young people with these exam pressures and help them sort of be able to perform better under pressure? So, yeah. And again, you know, trying to make it as cost effective as possible. I think, you know, it's these techniques and tips are something that you can put into practice quite easily. So sort of sticking it into a video format that young people can, parents can download, it just makes it easier for everybody, makes it so much more accessible.
Great to speak to Dani there. Her book, Run Like a Girl, is out now, featuring 50 amazing women athletes, 50 amazing stories, including Tracy Neville. And the virtual book launch is on the 22nd at 7:30. And you can buy your copy of the book, daniellebrown.co.uk.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.